This is Women Authors of Achievement Podcast, episode 87 with guest Andrea Sesama. Hello everyone, I'm your host Daria Sovorova and welcome to my show. This is another episode which I recorded straight from the Mexico City with a truly special guest, Andrea Sesama. A visionary in the world of design, an interior architect with over 30 years of experience, and a key advocate for Mexican design and creativity. Since 2009, she serves as a director of Design Week Mexico, the annual event that serves as a platform for showcasing the talents of Mexican designers, promoting design trends within the country, and bringing together the creative minds that drive innovation. Thanks to her remarkable leadership, Mexico was designated as the World Design Capital in 2018. It's the first one in the Americas. Today, we're going to delve into the world of design in Mexico, its rich history, its evolution, and the incredible potential it holds. We'll explore the significance of events like Design Week Mexico and Andrea's role in taking it to the new heights. We'll discuss Andrea's remarkable journey and her current reflections on life. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend and see if they enjoyed it as much. In the meantime, have fun listening to this conversation. Hello, Andrea. What a pleasure to sit here with you in Espacio Mexico. Hope I pronounced it right, in this beautiful space that was part of the Design Week in October last year. Today, we're going to talk a lot about architecture, design, and your story. And I'm so grateful that you found time and we can do this very special episode, taking the Berlin podcast to Mexico City and connecting the two cities a little bit. So thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thank you, Daria, for taking interest in our city and getting to know a little bit more about what we're doing here in Mexico.
And there's a lot to know. So far, I've been spending time going to different museums, taking tours. The more I explore, the more I go down the rabbit hole. As I said, it's very hard to leave because there's so much now more things that I want to learn and understand that beautiful, rich culture and very friendly people. So
I think Mexicans are really up to collaborating and they love to people to love our city. Like we really like people to like the city and we're very good at sharing experiences. In Mexico, there's a lot of going on in culture and in food. So it's a great
it's exciting.
City.
It's exciting.
You should come.
Yes, yes. And I cannot wait to plan the next time I'll be back for sure. To kick things off, Andrea, could you share with me how you first discovered your passion for architecture and design and what inspired you to pursue this path and dedicate yourself to it?
The story of my life is first, I really wanted to study philosophy because I loved like the reasoning behind everything. But then I discovered that through architecture, you could really understand that the habitat of people and then you could really make things better through constructed spaces and design. And I thought that was like a good place for me to understand more about humanity.
Mm-hmm. And then you went to the known school, known university, Anahuac, Mexico.
Yeah. My father always used to say that the best university is the one that you have close to home, where you can really understand. And studying architecture, although I looked into many things, Mexico seemed to be the best place because we really have amazing history of architecture and architects.
Could you elaborate on that?
I think throughout the years, also throughout our history, there's been a lot of great architecture done in Mexico since before the colonial and Mayan. And there's like a really good conception of what space is and the construction of this space to benefit humans. And there was like a story of great architecture in the 50s and our Pritzker Prize Barragán and a lot of women in architecture in Mexico today.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, we are. It's a strong group of great Mexican architects who are women like Tatiana Bilbao and Rosana Montiel. And I mean, there's a long list of Lorena Castro. So there's a long list of great Mexican architects who are women.
As well as you are, right? And if someone would visit Mexico City and they are thinking, okay, three places to go to see this unique architecture that stands for Mexico City, where should they go?
Well, what a difficult question. But just like walking in the city, you can see the center of the city, which is very colonial and even Coyoacán. But you can also see the modern side of Mexico in Condesa and in Roma. And I would visit at least three houses of Mexican architects, which is the house of Agustin Hernandez or his workshop, or the house of Barragán, which is obviously all of his houses, and Felix Candela, which is like, he's Spanish-Mexican, but he's built and his profession was built in Mexico. So
In the Luis Barragán, I was checking, it's booked out. So if someone's
booked out.
It's always booked out, and I was planning a visit.
If you really want, well, we can talk later. Because we can, like, we're friends with Ortega family, and like, it's always booked out because right now there's like a boom of people coming to Mexico,
yeah.
And Barragán is one of our greatest attractions, although I would go to the furthest houses, like his convent, the Convent de Capuchinas. It's a beautiful space, and also great contemporary architects like Mauricio Rocha, and that he did the renovation of the Anahuacalli, and so there's like
gorgeous.
Always gorgeous things going on.
And you're always inspired. I can feel it. And for you as an architect, what were some of those pivotal moments or experiences that have shaped your career and design philosophy through your years?
I guess the knowledge that when you walk into the space, it transmits a meaning. Like every time you walk into a space, if it's closed or if it's dark or if it's light, or just walking into a beautiful space, and then you don't know why, you feel happiness and you feel welcome, just because the space really invites you. And that feeling, I can't pinpoint it to a point in my life exactly, but I remember it's like when I went to Europe with my parents and we kept going to all these places, and each time just like walking into the space and how the space was so overwhelming, I understood that there's such a responsibility in designing, you know, especially as a human race keeps growing. And it's also a great responsibility because as architects, you're also very depredatory. It's you build and then you unbuild. And then if it gets wrong, I had a Japanese friend who always told me that building stay and architect dies as well as a client. So when you build something, it's more for posterity and it gets a much longer life than you do. So you're building to create a thing for the future as well.
It's so important that you say that because today, oftentimes we see these quick fixes, you know, it's a building made with a poor material. It's not very thought through. It's not sustainable just for the reason of like creating quickly living a residential area for people. And what you said, it's not what we see from 100 years ago. It's not going to stay long. It's unfortunately already you can see 5 years later cracks on the walls. Is this heartbreaking for you as an architect to see this more like commercial quick buildings built?
I think it's when you do not think through what's going to happen with that space that you're creating. O sea, if it's a building or if it's a park or anything that's constructed and that you don't think that it will go beyond you, it's sometimes very disheartening to see that you just think about the project and not the impact that that project can make in a whole community beyond that project.
Is there a favorite project that you worked on that has a special place in your heart?
The thing is that not always you get to do what you wish to do. You know, you're not always you get to do what you wish to do. So sometimes you imagine things that you would love to do, but projects that I really love to do was the one that we did made in Canal Nacional, that it was more of a project of urban placemaking. Also, sometimes the biggest things, you understand that what you did had a great impact on the person that you did it for. Then it created a better life for that moment. I love the projects that we also did in Chiapas, which were like the museums and the parks. And now we're working on a Chapultepec Park, on a part of a project of developing a new area of urban public space, which public space for me has a great meaning. I love this space where we're in, which is Espacio CDMX. When we took it over and when the city provided us the space, it was completely ruined. It was a space that was unused, had been unused for 30 years. And when it was World Design Capital, we decided that we needed a space to showcase a lot of the projects. And we didn't want to build another space. So my partners and me, we looked for a space that was in the city and that wasn't used. And we found this space. And it was completely run down. It was taken over by urban gangs, and we restored it, and now it has become Espacio CDMX, for projects of art and design in the city. So
it's quite a gem. And as I said, when I was walking through, I got lost in all the designs. But can you explain to me? So we see in the space exposition of interior pieces, design pieces. There's a textiles. There's a lot of different things. What's the purpose of it?
The purpose of this space is to have a platform that fosters architecture and design. So right now you're seeing an exhibit that's for Design Week Mexico, which is in Edito. It's difficult to understand somehow what we do. I say we because I'm just part of a partnership, which is me, Emilio, and Marco. We've been partners for 33 years, longer than me and my husband. So it's been a great partnership. It's been a partnership that helped us grow and has developed us as architects and also as human beings. Because through that partnership, through Secovic Arquitectos, because that's my core, we wanted a project that was a social responsible project. And we focus, obviously, in design and architecture. And what we wanted to do was create a platform that could build different platforms to foster design and architecture in many ways. And that platform was Design Week that we built 15 years ago. It was our 15th year anniversary this year, and it was great. And it's been growing. And we find different things in different spaces and all the time thinking how we can promote better Mexican design and designers. And through that, we got to be World Design Capital. And through that, we got now Espacios de CDMX. And like, there's so many things that are woven into the...
And that's also what I wanted to talk about. So in 2018, right, that Mexico was selected as a World Design Capital. And this one was first one in Americas. It's happening under your, so to speak, leadership, like you doing a lot of things here. But can you explain maybe a little bit more like the significance of having this achievement, having this recognition, and how that influenced the perception of Mexican design and creativity after being selected, right?
It was a long process to make the selection. So we were competing with great design cities like Tokyo and Curitiba. It was like we were competing against really great cities. But the idea or the possibility that design can create in a city like Mexico was very, very wide. So I think we got the designation because everybody kept asking us, why? Because Mexico, but the traffic, but you know, there are many issues that could and will and have been resolved through design thinking in this city and that many people really don't perceive. And we really wanted to talk about, you know, this is a conversation that has been going on. And we, as designers, really have it in our DNA, but maybe the people that are outside the design community don't really understand how creativity really is a great thing in this. In a country like Mexico, where we don't have the technology or maybe we don't have a lot of things, we have a bucket of creativity. And so that's what we wanted to focus on in Mexico, being World Design Capital. You know, that design that can change, design that can really make social impact. Because lots of times, and especially before, where there weren't so many words like design thinking and creative communities and... Now we have those words, but those words did not really exist. And you could say to somebody design and they would think like objects of desire, you know, like objects that are expensive. But we want to talk about design that everything is design. Your earphones, my phone, the computer, public spaces, the chair, the street that you walk on. So everything in your life has an impact and a creative decision behind it. Everything. So that creative decision is done by a creative person that decided that that should be like that. That is a thing that really impacted us to really pushing Mexico as World Design Capital, because I think we do have that creative design thinking side.
For sure. And I've been experiencing walking the streets. And also, I mean, Mexico City is the second city in the world that has the most museums. Also shows...
Crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Every day I cannot decide where to go. I have so many places to go.
Too many museums. We have a museum from almost everything.
I'm lost. I'm looking at the list and I'm like, oh boy, I'm not even going to complete half of it.
I think I haven't been to all the museums.
So this really shows a lot. We would compare a little bit just to understand the difference. Global design maybe, and specifically Mexican design and interior architecture, How does it stand out from the global trends? And what are some of the particular recognized Mexican elements of culture and heritage influences you see in those distinctions?
I think it's very hard, especially now for the younger generation. But I think something that distinguishes, and we are always saying Mexican design, but is it done by Mexicans? Is it done in Mexico? Is it done by designers? We really don't know, but it's also, I think one of the things is that we grow up with a lot of visuals, a lot of color and a lot of history, but also wanting to be global and also wanting to be part of the global trends. I think what we do have is what I'm telling you, a lot of creativity and a lot of artisans and a lot of handmade and a lot of things that, because what I was telling you, we don't have that much relationship with industry, even though it's coming, or maybe we did have it more in the 70s. But I think more and more we are realizing that our forte is in the handmade and in the warmth that can give a project, because it's very specific, because it's not industrious. Mm-hmm. So I think that part is also very important when we consider trends in Mexico and how we are in constant communication or in constant thinking of who we are. But I think that's almost everywhere.
It is.
I think we do identify a lot with our culture and even the food and the smells and the color and the artisans and the...
What's in the essence of that great culture?
That there is a great culture. It comes from a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It comes also from the Spanish when they came, but also from the...
Pre-Hispanic.
The pre-Hispanic times, and also from all of these eras that of people coming into Mexico and injecting it with different things. Like you can see Museo de Bellas Artes, which is Art Deco, but it's a very Mexican Art Deco. So you can always see that global trend, but it has something that it becomes very Mexican.
You know what I also saw? I saw like Art Deco twist with some Maya kind of influence, and that I never seen before. So what we talk about indigenous pre-Hispanic symbols put into Art Deco, and for me that was mind-blowing. And I remember I think there was a chair, and it was even exhibited during the exhibition in Paris, the World Expo in 1900. And for me, that was the moment I saw something I'd never seen before, for instance.
Yeah, that's, I think, some of the qualities that we do have. And because history is super, it's very empowering, to feel that history of the pre-Hispanics, but also that Europeans that came, and also a lot of the Latin American. And we've tried to stay away from the American, but we are neighbors. Like, there's a lot of influence from America.
Yes.
Which comes and makes all this great soup of Mexican.
It's an exciting place to be here, because it's a lot of things to filter through, as you said, history, culture, the current influence. So I would imagine to be a creative, to be here, it's a lot of spark of doing things. So I feel it.
And possibilities, because I think sometimes what I see in Europe, or I don't know if it's like my conception, is that everything is already built. Yeah. And it's very difficult to be a new architect or do something new, because everything is very institutionally and already done. To break away from that could be, I think, difficult. And here it's not. It's always amazement and it's always possibility.
That's great. Some people are making notes like moving to Mexico yes. City in 2 years. So you're making it very attractive here, Andrea. So Design Week, I wanted to talk a little bit about Design Week Mexico. You started it together with your partners back in 2008, right? At that time, why was this moment, 2008, you were like, you know what, we need a Design Week in Mexico?
It was more about thinking that we needed a social responsible project within Secubica, and that we wanted to do something more, no? We wanted to do something more. And we had seen around the world things that they were always talking about design. And I think we are one of the first design weeks. We're one of the oldest design weeks in the world. And to bring design into the museums, we did the first exhibit of design in the Museum of Modern Art after 40 years. I think the last one was Clara Porcet, and then we did, because in an institution, in a federal institution. So what we wanted to see is that design really makes well-being. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to talk about that. And it started small, but it's been growing and growing. And now it's a platform that everybody expects to happen. And then it's not especially because I think it was more that that year we saw the possibility that that could happen. Yeah. And we started with Design House. Because
so it was a rather small start.
Yeah, the start was, we started with Design House and an exhibit in the National Museum. And then and everybody asked, how did you do it? And we say, you know, sometimes you just have to ask. We were very young and we were just like, okay, we want to make an exhibit in the Museum of Modern Art. And I'm like, Osa, how? So we knocked the door and said, so we want to make an, it was a long process. And I'm just,
of course.
Get that, but, so the idea was just like, I said, just sometimes you just need to ask and to see and to find out if it's possible. And it became possible.
I like that approach because that's also, I was releasing episode also where I was talking and a lot of people ask me like, how do you approach things? And it's just like being active. It's just like, as you said, asking, would you be interested to do that? The fact that we're sitting right here, right now, is like me, I was in Berlin and I was like, well, I'm actually going to be in Mexico City. I heard it's a great city with lots of incredible women. I reached out to the network. I reached to White Label Project. And I said, you know, you work with a lot of local artists and creators. Like, do you have names? And they were instant. They were so excited. They were like, of course, we have Andrea in mind for you. And it was just about asking. I could have just went here and been a tourist, but it was just this, the small, and it was intimidating because it's the first time, you know, I have a studio on the go. It was all about like, okay, let's figure this out. But this is a moment.
Yeah, this is actually a great moment.
And it's a
And when I received your call, I was so happy. So really, it's not because I love to talk. I'm very shy. Normally, I'm very, very shy, but I think it's just connecting. I think everything is about people. That's what I thought this end of the year. Everything is about the people that really have the energy to do anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to a project and you find that person that wants to do the project will get done. No, it's not about the institution. It's always about the person and looking people in the eye and having this web of people that are that you get to know and that you get to talk to and bring new ideas. And even if those conversations can turn into uncomfortable conversations of why are you doing this or how, all of those things make you grow.
100%. And so, and speaking of you being active, I mean, you have your own architect bureau since 1990. You're director of the Design Week. You're also a jury on a couple of design awards. You're everywhere, Andrea. Like, how are you managing?
It's my 5 minutes. No, I think I love to be a juror. I love to be jury panel because I get to know a lot of things that are being done. And especially when it's an international competition, because you get to see a lot of things that are being done. I am a people person. It's more about the people. It's not because of the project, but when I get into, I love meeting people and getting to know and connecting and knowing that if you did this and connected that and that happened, you know, the waves in the water, like when you throw a stone in the water and it becomes these waves, you never know where the last wave will take you, but it always takes you to the right place because of the energy that you put into that. Although this year was like to decide a little less project. Because sometimes I'm trying to eat too much of a cake. And
you need to give yourself also a bit of a rest.
I need a little bit of downtime and taking care of yourself because sometimes you get too lost in the projects. But I do it with a, I'm not just saying because it may sound a little bit, but I really love those projects. Like I work with artisans and I did Ensemble Artesano and I got to know so many artisans that now it's impossible for me not to keep going and keep the relationship, you know? But I really focus on my design practice and my architecture practice because that's where everything comes from.
Of course. With that said, there's also that part with you which just shows consistency. I mean, for me, what was amazing to see, you want to connect with people, projects, but you are long in everything you do. There's such a consistency, right? You had your bureau since 1990. You work with your partners, you said, for over 30 years. You started Design Week in 2008. It's ongoing. I mean, what's your secret to starting something, picking it, and having such a long-lasting, consistent impact?
We are three partners that we do everything together.
Everything, also the Design Week.
Everything together.
You really found each other.
We really found each other. Even though sometimes we want to kill each other, we like brothers and sisters. We know our forces and our abilities and everything. But I think finding the right people to work with, people that respect you and that you respect, and that they can fill out the holes that are missing in you, you find in them. So they have the great things that maybe I'm sometimes missing. And sometimes when you're feeling down, they take you up. And so we are always like somebody's pulling the other to make these, all of these projects.
Okay.
And I think after a while, Design Week became, I'm not saying an obligation, but it became, it's sometimes we're like, oh, I don't know, we want to continue because it's a nonprofit organization and it really takes a lot of time from our practice. But now it's like a responsibility. If we don't do it, so maybe somebody else will do it and we don't know how to do that, but everybody expects it. Now it's part of the DNA of the Mexican design culture.
So yes.
Sometimes it's
a big responsibility.
It's a big responsibility.
So whoever will take over, they have to fit the criteria.
Yeah.
And how do those regional partnerships and collaborations enhance the kind of the diversity and richness of the event? Because you said that for you, it's all about collaborations. And Mexico is not just Mexico City. There's so many indigenous communities, artisans, craftsmen. How do they find a way here and how do you integrate them into the Design Week?
So we're always trying to look for new things or new partners. Like this year, we, for the first, which is strange, but we had like...
Last year.
Oh, yeah, we're 2024. Like we have a great team. So we have a great team in Secubica. We have a great team in Design Week. And our team really works really hard to try to integrate and be as diverse as possible. And like I said, we love people calling us and saying, oh, we want to participate and this is what we want to do. We're always welcoming new ideas and new designers and new things here. And also trying not to be centered, because Mexico City can be a little centered. And we try to reach out to the outside of Mexico City, to different regions. And now we're really trying to reach out to Latin America. If you can see here, when you see our project, you can see more than 10% projects that are from Latin America. So we are very proud of that. And especially in the universities, we have one university from Guatemala and one university from Chile. And I think because we do have want to have a voice in the LATAM community as, you know, being centered of all the Latin American design and not only Mexico.
That's a very strong statement. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you said, because there is so much other influences, right, from the Latin America. And again, for Mexico City to take that responsibility to lead and represent, it's a different challenge. I feel like the Design Week is slowly but steadily taking on even a bigger scope.
Which is crazy. I don't know why. No, but I think it's because, I mean, we love America and also we love Europe, but I think we do have to have our own voice and trying to collaborate. And as many voices that you can integrate, then you can find better ways of doing things. You know, you share better practices, you share mistakes. And that's like when you're running up a ladder, it's not the same when you start from the third step or the fifth step, or that you start from the bottom. And we're always trying to make people hear, this is what we've learned. So this is the third step or this is the fourth step. And we invite everybody to know what we learn and what we can do in better practices so people can really, or everybody can start from that third, fourth step, or don't start from the bottom.
Yes, very important. And you mentioned a couple of times already before we spoke the importance of design in enhancing the urban landscape and improving the lives and, you know, positioning the city or the way of living to people differently. How do you see the design contributing to economical, social, environmental, cultural development also in Mexico and over those years that you've been hosting the Design Week?
I think one of the things that we are trying to do, but it's the hardest part, is bringing in the institutions that, because to have a Design Week, you need also, of course, the people that make it, so that the team and us and the design community, which is all of these people that believe in us and want to show their projects here and that want to develop the design world. But it's also about the institutions and that, to really make them understand that design is a process that has to involve the city, has been a greater challenge.
What institutions are you thinking of?
I don't know how to say it. The political institutions, like the city, the councils, and the government.
Mm-hmm. Are they more involved now, or do they see the need and the purpose?
It's depending on the time.
Yes.
There has been times of greater involvement and times of less involvement, but I think we are really trying to make them see so that creativity and that this is important for the city. Better built environments, it's because there are these better creators behind it. Mm-hmm. And that makes social projects which are credible.
And also making
work
for the
whole city. Sometimes the city is very divided into, because it's so big, no? So it's divided into these areas. But when you think of doing public spaces for the city, you have to think about every member of the city that inhabits the city.
Of course, but also not only that, but what you said, developing it and putting Mexico City and Mexico on the map, world map, makes it more attractive for people, incoming, economic kind of interest, talents, creative. So it just makes people interested in the city. And aside from tourism, it kind of connects between this kind of global world map, which I think is also a great opportunity for the city.
Yeah, I think so. And although there are many challenges, it also makes it more interesting for us that we live in this city, you know? And it connects a lot of things because it connects food, and it connects food with design and design with this urban spaces. And so it makes like a whole weaving of different little things that are happening that make it like a whole city. And I think our younger generation, our young people that are living in the city, make it really vibrant because they're very strong and they're very opinionated and they want to do things their way and they're very proud of being Mexican.
Love it. Speaking of the younger talent, is there some emerging talents in Mexican design sphere that you find particularly exciting?
Yes, there are lots. I love the artist and community now that I've been so involved and they're trying to be seen as artists now. So I guess I know people like Rufina Ruiz or she's not that young, but there are like a lot of new like artisans that are breaking away from that pattern of being artisans and becoming part of the design community. In a way, it was separated, but now it's every time more intertwined. There's people like Raúl López de la Serna and there's Melissa Avila, which I think you're interviewing.
Oh, yes, I did. Melissa Avila.
Melly, she's like a... There are like a lot of shining stars and all these Mexican women architects that are... I think Frida Escobedo is doing the new part of the Met.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a Mexican architect. So I think we're kind of also in Mexico, but also all over the place.
That's good. Also, speaking of you, you're also traveling a lot and present in different art events globally. So as we said, we might meet also in Berlin.
Yes, we should in Berlin. I worked in Berlin with a platoon in that time, and I learned a lot about the different aspects, and I learned a lot. That was a great collaboration because things like Asphalt Piloten, which are doing these like amazing art and installations and things in the urban space, is something that we really should foster in Mexico.
And when it comes to the challenges, what are the main kind of difficulties that you see right now in Mexico when it comes to creating those spaces, communities, design? Has there been the tough moments?
Yes, of course. You know, I think we do face a lot of challenges, maybe with the understanding of the institution and also the economic part of that doing these things takes great economic toll, and that there are so many different conversations now going on in Mexico that we do have to see each other in the eye and understand where the other has the challenges and where we could help intertwine all of these challenges, which are mostly social, you know, these social differences or economic differences, because Mexico, we can have the richest man in the world, but we also have like a lot of people with economic challenges. And so that part is very, I have a young son, he's 20. And I was telling you that he's always asking me about being more socially responsible when talking, and it's very hard because in a city like Mexico, we grew up with a lot of different social, I don't know what to call it, challenges, but social differences that I think we have to break and become more horizontal society.
Mm-hmm. No? Less hierarchy and more...
And more...
Eye on eye, equality.
Equality. Because sometimes it's difficult to see all this amazing richness and things that are blah, 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 and then also see places that are very heartbreaking and that are still not part of that complete community.
Yes, and I think you're right. And also that's also the other part which I've seen and I felt as I, at least right now in Mexico City, as you walk the streets, that you see those contrasts sometimes. And oftentimes there's a beauty in that, in those contrasts, because you see how there's the street food side, there's something where things are down to earth, they're very easy to approach, but there's the toughness of it is also seeing the different areas of the city, which speaking of Polanco and then speaking of maybe the historical
like that. So there are like
huge contrasts.
People's also huge contrasts here that sometimes are very hard and that you don't want them to become invisible. You want to see it. So you want to, because as long as you see it and you understand that it exists, you can try to weave and make differences and see people in the eye and try to bring in those communities also so that we can all be part of a conversation. The conversation is very different from very different points of view, and you have to take into account all of the points of view, which is very difficult.
For sure, I can imagine. There is also another platform, which is the Mexico Territorio Creativo, and it's a hub for Mexican architecture and design. What was the vision for this initiative?
The thing was that we had Design Week, and Design Week was October. So it was a month of design and events, but we thought that was very small, that we had to create a program that was a year-long program that talked about and platformed Mexican design throughout the year. So Mexico Territorio Creativo is more of the umbrella that holds everything else. So it holds Design Week Mexico, it holds Espacio CDMX, it holds also Arc Days, and like a lot of the other platforms, Ensemble Artesano, and all of the other platforms that we make. So it's like Mexico Territorio, it's the umbrella that holds all the other projects that we're doing.
And as you mentioned, there's an Art Week that is coming up in February.
Yes.
So it's different from Design Week.
It's another platform, but it's also a great platform for Mexico, and it's a very internationally known platform for Ireland. And
it's a lot of things happening here.
Yeah.
And when it comes to sustainability and its growing concern for the design industry, how do you see specifically in Mexican approach is sustainability practices are integrated into those different projects and initiatives?
I think more and more we are talking about sustainability in many different ways, no? Because it's a great word, but it involves a lot of things. We started thinking that sustainable just had to be something to survive, to make it to survive. But I think if we see the projects that we're doing with the universities, those young people are really fostering design through sustainable practices and thinking more about that. The older generation, it's a little harder, but I think everybody's thinking about where can we think more about a better future for our children and a better future for us through sustainable practices, whatever that means, no? Because it's very
broad, yes. And I feel like it's also almost a natural calling.
Because you speak German, I speak Spanish, and we're speaking in English. And my English sometimes, my words really fly around, and I'm like, well, so, what's that word? And also something that, yeah, I've never had a problem being a woman. I mean, I think I'm completely integrated. I love that this podcast is about women. And for me, it has been great being a woman because I'm invited to a lot of things because I'm a woman. So it's been great. But when you get to an age and you start getting these mental fogs and you don't know that it's going to happen, that's when I say, yes, yes, I'm a woman. Like, it's very strange.
It's
this year I started to realize that, oh yeah, this is what menopause feels like.
Speaking of, right? Yeah. But being a woman, actually something I also asked Melissa is, how is it to be a woman creative, and in your case, architect in Mexico?
I think we have a great space to do that. although there are many challenges, like in Mexico, they just had like a problem with the academy, the architectural academy. I'm not part of it, but like a lot of the design partnerships that were Mexican men and women, husband and wife in the same, they always chose a man to be part of the academy. There's still, like everywhere else in the world, there's still challenges that we hold our institutions that they have to look that everybody's equal, no? That we have to have this hope. But I think they're opening a lot of spaces. Like I said, no, there are a lot of incredible women architects in Mexico. For me, it hasn't been a challenge being a woman. I have a great husband. We are really partners in parenting. And so that was something that for me wasn't a problem. But maybe it was more of a problem for myself to think about, did I take enough time with the kids? But I think it's my questioning and also the questioning of my husband, you know? Because when you work, you have to decide where you put your time and you have to decide sometimes things that you could decide this road or that road. And maybe you, when you look back, you say, should I have taken that road? I don't know if it's because I'm a woman or it's because those choices.
Probably also personality. And also your personality, you seem to be, you love what you're doing. You love working with people. You're curious. It's hard to choose, right?
It's hard to choose.
To stay at home and...
To stay at home and take care of your kids, which would also would have been great. No, but I don't think my kids suffer from it. It's more about me. It's a me problem.
Your question. They're partially also involved and sometimes active. Sometimes they don't
see
themselves.
Very critical. They're very critical. They make me grow a lot. Something that's about having children is that they're not afraid to question. And I love that because... Sometimes they question hard and they make you think about things that you haven't thought before and make you stay younger and present and listen to rap music. And
I see.
I know who, I don't know, Kendrick Lamar is and things like that.
I see. You're like up to date on all fronts possible.
I don't know if all of them, but at least I try. That's why I haven't given classes a lot, but when I do, it's the part that I love, because when I love to see how the younger generation...
You also teach.
I've taught, like I give, yeah. So not now. I really love to teach because that's how you stay current. Because what are they reading? What are the books that they're seeing? What are the magazines? Do I remember in my time? So you had like this magazine that was called Domus. And you had to ask your parents to bring it from Europe and you shared it with your classmates, you know? And it was like, it was crazy to think that I lived that and now that I have all this information in this machine.
Available. Yeah.
And that you can't see how you have to. And my son really teaches me how to look into the internet and not find the wild, wild west, because it's kind of a wild, wild west, no? And he showed me, no, this is more credible. Don't do this, don't do that. Which are the things that you should look at more and be careful with.
I love it. He's like advisor.
Yes, he's my advisor.
I love this family working together and is supporting you. So that's great. And I mean, speaking about you balancing so many projects and work you're doing and your personal time or your like creative things, your well-being. I mean, you said that you felt there was a moment where you felt a bit tired. So you're planning to keep things a bit low. At the same time, you already said you're planning to go to Berlin. So you're still active. But what are your overall strategies or ways to maintain balance and take care of yourself?
One thing that I'm working on is not multitasking. Even though it's funny, but it's a thing that you have to focus and you have to work and really find also that people that can do things with you. No, and you don't have to do everything alone. You say you have to do things with people that are also doing what you're doing. And this year I was telling myself that I really want to focus on my practice, on my architectural practice as well, because it takes a lot of toll on clients and things like that, all of those other projects. And choose your well-being before anything else. It's a choice. Although this gives me a lot of energy. I take the energy from the people. Like maybe I tell my husband, if I stop doing this, I think it's like turning off a switch. And I will start as the consuming like a candle. But I think you have to reassess, no? And I think I'm at that point where I have to reassess what is important in my life as I grow older. And for me, something that is very important is exactly these conversations that I have with my children about how to make this world a better place. I'm not talking about let's make the world a better place because that's like Miss Universe, but it's more about how to find these spaces that I can intervene in and say, I made this better. And that's for me what Design Week is. That's what Ensemble Artesanal has been. It's like, I know if it's good or bad, I gave everything to that, to really putting Mexico in a platform. I gave everything to that. And for me, I think in when I die or whatever, whatever I did, I gave it my everything.
Wow. You made me nervous saying that. It's very
Well, it's strong.
It's strong.
It's strange. I'm not old and people are getting to live a lot longer. But if you think about it, 80 years, which you live, and I've already consumed this, it's quite strange to think that you maybe have only 20 years left to do whatever you want to do. And that's like a realization that I had so many things. And I say, how do you want to spend those 20 years? It's your decision. And it's a great decision. So like you think about it. And it's like when you decide if you want to eat sushi or meat, but what do you want for the last 20 years of your life? That's my light place. I don't know.
Wow. You know, I have to take a moment to take that in because it's a strong question and it's not something I could comment or respond to. I think it's a very wise also approach. And I feel like you're also a person who really knows yourself and reflect a lot. And I think your words are very empowering to anyone at any stage of their life because the world is at the moment is quite challenging. There's a lot of things happening at the same time. It's very turbulent. And the fact that having that momentum when you check in with yourself and ask yourself, okay, at any period, if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, etc., and you ask yourself, okay, where am I at this moment? What's really ahead? What do I see myself in the next 5-10 years? Despite all the chaos happening and it's trying to mess with your head, mess with your dreams, mess with what are you meant to do here? And I think that's also the message you're trying to send, because at the end of the day, you have your personal mission in this world, and we should not forget to check in with that mission. And I feel like you have a very strong mission in the culture of Mexico, which is already happening right now, and already you've made that change, as we said, in 2018, Mexico City being so recognized. So what's ahead is even bigger, exciting. It's beautiful. And everyone else at any stage where they are in their life, they can ask themselves the same question. It can be anything else.
Exactly. If you think about 33 years of practice, but if I think that I have still another 30 years left in my life, I could start over and do it, you know, like you can start over. You can do anything you want. It's something that those possibilities are big. You can do anything that you want. You can even study something else. You can even, you know, you not that I want to, but what I'm saying is 30 years to be here, but then I have another 30 years to go. So
maybe it's kite surfing.
Maybe. I don't know.
A kite surfing.
Retire and a half. No. Getting to know more people, getting to know more conversations.
Even more. That's also what we're doing now. Yeah, now that we're in 2024, what's like things like upcoming projects or things that you're really excited about this year and that you're really looking forward to? Maybe those are also projects that are pinpointing Mexico even more on the world map.
What I was saying is about Mexico, but it's also about our design practice. I'm really looking forward. We're doing this new park, which is public space, and I'm really looking forward doing that. Hey, we're doing projects around the world. We're doing now different residential projects in Honduras and in Guatemala. So we're expanding our practice a lot more. We're doing a lot of things in Miami as an architect. I think I want to renew myself and see where we are as a practice in architecture. So for me, that's exciting to find out what else we can do as architects and how we can reinvent ourselves right now. I'm traveling with my partners through the process of getting to know ourselves once more and where we want to go. In Design Week, just got this space tenured for another 10 years, doing all of these exhibitions, which is also a great responsibility. And also getting to know the younger community, because know, and to see what they want this space to be, Espacio CDMX, what they want to be. I'm looking forward. I have a lot of plans this year to visit the different artisanal communities. I'm working on a new residence program. We do the residence program, which is called Vision and Tradition. Mm-hmm. Vision and Tradition is a residence program where we invite different designers from all over the world to come for a week and spend time with the artisans and produce a piece. So now I'm working more on how to establish a more permanent resident program.
Is it where is it based usually?
It depends. It's in different communities.
It was the last one?
The last one was Querétaro, in different communities in Querétaro, because we work with an invited guest country and an invited state. But I think what I want to do is, instead of just having the invited guest and the invited state, to make a residence program for different designers that want to contribute or that want to have the experience of a residence with artisans in Mexico. So that's
a very interesting program to be part of. How can one apply?
Call me. Contact me through my web. No, I think we're doing the application forms and what we want these designers, what qualifications we want those designers to have, and which are the artisanal communities that we can be able to start this project from. And I think the idea that we did Vision and Tradition was more of an intercultural exchange of ideas, like, no sé, if there were Germans practicing with artisans from Jalisco. It was more of an exchange of cultures. And I think now, for me, you're an ambassador of Mexico. You came, you got to know the people, you're doing this podcast. For me, this is work of what used to be, you know, the ambassadors. Mm-hmm. But I think the people, each day, you come, you visit, you get to know, and then you return to Berlin and you share and you become an ambassador to our country. And so I think
we invite
these different designers from all over the place to it's also growing and getting to know and seeing each other in the eyes. And because that happens with any problem, no? It's always lack of communication. So when you come and you see and you interchange ideas, that's when you become like an ambassador. Many people, you know, I don't think right now it's the same, but there's also the thing about, oh, is Mexico super unsafe, you know, because of the challenges. And of course, it's a big city and it's a big country. And there are parts that are unsafe and there are parts that are safe. You just have to be wary, like everywhere else in the world. But at the beginning, when we did the residence programs, it was like, oh, I don't know, is it safe? But then people start communicating and say, it's incredible.
Of course.
That's how you become an ambassador.
That's an interesting outcome of the question where I ended up being ambassador. But I would love that. I feel it's a big responsibility now.
You have that responsibility.
My last question, I do feel like this conversation meant to go for a long time, but I can imagine you're also very busy, Andrea. And the last question is always about, it comes from the name of the podcast, which is Women Authors of Achievement. And I always say that achievement can be defined for different people differently. Some people want to climb the Mount Everest, the other ones want to start a family, or a startup. So everything is different. It's just for how you define it. What's important, what you also said, people and women being proactive and leaders of their life. They are making those decisions. They're saying yes to something and they're building their life of their dreams step by step. And that's when you're a woman of your own achievements, which you clearly are. And I'm so grateful that we're having this conversation. And my question to you is who you would like to highlight on this episode as your woman author of achievement, a role model.
It's crazy to say that my mother, because maybe, but she is the one who really showed me what it meant to be a woman of power. You know, she was a young woman in Mexico, Jewish, coming from all these, I always say challenges, but she, not being part of them, the Mexico, she studied a political science and she became a politician in Mexico where women weren't allowed. She opened spaces where women weren't allowed to be. Coming from a very different culture, she really found a space to love the city and to be so grateful to Mexico for opening the doors to her parents and for letting her study with when she had no money and she could study in a free university like the UNAM and she could become a person with a voice. And she always used that voice for good. And she showed me that as a woman, you take your life in your own hands and you direct your energy to wherever you want to go. And I know it's crazy that we say all about our mothers, but she was a great example. She became a congresswoman. She was part of the Mexican political scene in a space where at that time, it was impossible.
Incredible. So she completely made her own way. Was she also born? Was she originally from Mexico?
She was born in Mexico.
Okay, so it's...
She was born in Mexico. Her parents were migrants and it was complex, like everything, you know, like everything. But I think Mexico gave her that space to do that. And she was able to do it and she took the space. You know, because it's one thing to have it and the other is to take... You have to take your space and say that... So no matter who you are, where you come from, what the challenges is, ask and go forward. Don't be afraid of people saying no, you know, because it's not that way, it can be another way. You will always find a way if you look for a way, you know, if you look for a road. You will find a road when you're looking for a road. If not, you become static. You have to keep on doing that inertia.
100% agree with you. This is like my life motto, right? It's... You have to walk.
You
like
have to
walk. You walk exactly. And then you are going to get somewhere.
Exactly. If you stop walking, you don't get anywhere. And don't be afraid because fear is such a challenge. Fear of people, fear of opening, fear of people saying no. So be fearless.
Be fearless. That's
what she showed me. Be fearless.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. And I feel like that's such a strong wrap-up of our conversation. Be fearless. I really love it. Andrea, thank you so much for being
so
on the show.
Thank you so much for opening a space to talk and say things.
We talked about so many things, and I'm really grateful that you shared a little bit more on the background on, you know, the design in Mexico, your personal story. You know, I was not sure, like, how much we can go into your story, and thank you for being so open and sharing your story and your mother. There's a lot of learnings. And as you said, I hope, if not me, but then this podcast episode is a statement, is a why Mexico and Mexico City is so interesting for people to be connect with this culture, learn, contribute, collaborate. As you said, you like when people come together. And I think there's just so many ways. Like when we spoke, there's just so many paths for people coming from different backgrounds and industries that they can interact and do things together. It's incredible. Thank you for opening the eyes and opening the hearts and minds of people who listen to this podcast to Mexico and Mexico City.
Oh, thank you for inviting us and becoming this new ambassador for Mexico. No, really. And being fearless.
Next time.
Talking to fearless women who have their own achievements.
Yes.
Making me part of that community. I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Andrea. We see each other in Berlin.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please don't forget to leave us a review. We're always excited to read them. If you want to interact with us, the guests, or the podcast listeners, then head over to our Instagram page at waa.berlin. And while you're there, make sure to check our webshop. Thank you again for listening, and we're looking forward to being back soon.